Caitlin DeKeschiter spends a lot of time in Oakledge Park in Burlington. Sometimes she brings Sid, who's almost always the most energetic dog in the park. At a clearing by the waterfront, she stops in front of a black bench with a view across the bay to downtown. Inscribed on the bench is her brother's name, Brennan Joseph DeKeschiter. Below it, it says Ride Infinite Powder. For Brennan, the phrase fits better than Rest in Peace. It's been 15 months and a day since Brennan died from a heroin overdose. Caitlin, her other brother Colin, and their parents are all dealing with it differently. But they're all trying to move forward and honor the exuberant, loving son and brother they lost.
He just was free and self-possessed and athletic, and he really was one for the underdog. And I can't stress how much he cared for people.
Marjorie Kiesler is Brennan's mom. She made it her mission to help Brennan battle his addiction. Caitlin says her mother was totally dedicated to Brennan's recovery.
She did, like, everything. It was all she talked about. It was constantly on the phone with, like, this doctor or that doctor. I don't think that there's, like, a person who tried to do more.
Brennan fell in love with snowboarding when he was 11, visiting South America. When he finished high school, the sport took him west, to Lake Tahoe. He had his share of injuries out west. At some point, a doctor gave him a prescription to an opiate painkiller.
I had a brother who struggled, and so I was versed in the signs and symptoms. And the second that his, you know, these painkillers that were given to him in California seemed to be going on past his injury, I was on it like white on rice.
Marjorie urged her son to get help, calling across the country to find meetings, sending him self-help books, trying everything she could to give Brennan what he needed.
You know, you try tough love, you try not tough love, you try freaking out, being calm. You try it all. And I know that I definitely did everything. I mean, I was terrified for his life, but you never believe it'll happen.
The last time I spoke to him was a Thursday at about 10:30, right on an interstate. I'll never forget because I drive by it every day, and I know this is where I talk to Brennan. When you come 89 North, when you pass, just before you get to the Taft Corners exit, where that cop always sits on the left there, that's when I talked to Brennan. That's when he called me the last time.
Brennan's father, Robert DeKeschiter, thinks about his son every day.
You know, what really changes, the biggest change that I've had is like, it's like you're not like a unit anymore. That's hard, like. Going to a restaurant and saying four instead of five, you know.
Brennan's siblings remember looking up to their brother. Addiction wasn't what he was to them.
I knew the stigma surrounding it, and I understood it, but also when, you know, came down to it, he was just my brother.
Caitlin is 8 years younger than Brennan.
He'd be 25, 26, and just wouldn't care about, like, holding my hand, like, downtown, or, like, walking around with, like, his arm around me, and was just really compassionate and had a lot of empathy for other people.
Marjorie looks back, too, on Brennan's life, but usually it's less for fond memories than it is for some sign, some early warning that she missed.
This can sound crazy. I was like, well, when he was in kindergarten, you know, I think I should have met with teachers more. I was thinking that out loud.
She spent the year after Brennan's death calling people she found online through an organization called Grief Recovery After a Substance Passing, GRASP for short. She talked about the guilt, her feeling that she must have missed some sign the last time she saw Brennan. This spring, she started a Vermont chapter, and it helps.
It's been 14 months, and I've had that thought 300 million times, but until I heard that from somebody who has lost a child, it all of a sudden, you know, you can have a therapist tell you that, a grief counselor who hasn't lost it, but when you hear it from another parent who's had that same thought and worked through that thought and recognized that fact, it healed me.
Marjorie is a doer. Just as she worked tirelessly to get Brennan help, the thing helping her most now is facing her grief head on. Brennan's brother Colin, living in New York City, works through his pain with writing. A book of poetry about Brennan and about how the family handled his death.
And then I'm working on an epic poem about Brennan that sort of really lauds him, you know, puts him on a pedestal and, you know, looks at all the important events in his life and sort of how they made a man and you know, took him away, those events.
Caitlin and Robert both process the loss alone, quietly. Robert makes furniture, constantly thinking of Brennan as he works alone in his shop. Caitlin goes to the park with Sid, who was Brennan's dog. They all process things differently, and they all know there's some future for them, even if it can be hard to picture.
I wish I could be. I hope the kids are happy, but I don't think they'll be happy without us being happy. But no, I hate that word. But no, I do. Because it, I want to be happy without Brennan.
I think anyone that's ever suffered any sort of human loss, there's always the potential of that debilitating nature of their grief hitting them. But I think, you know, it'll plane out, or I hope that it does.
You know, Brennan used to always say to me, you know, Mom, this is not, you know, this problem is my problem. You need to live your life and get help. You know, you're too consumed with it, you know. And I think that it's now on a continuum. I'm still consumed with it. Now I'm consumed with his loss, and I always will be. I will do my best in his name to find a way to channel this loss into benefiting others.
At the park, Marjorie is sitting on Brennan's bench, watching Caitlin and Colin play with Sid. He's not standing with them, but Brennan and this loss surround the family.
It's definitely, like, feels just like a part of, like, my heart is gone. So, like, I'll never, like, fully move on, and, like, neither will anyone in my family, but we will, like, learn to live life, like, fully and be happy just in, like, a new way.
Caitlin's wearing a shirt they had made after he died. It has his name on the back. On the front, a line from his favorite song. Let's do something after we die. In the music they hear, their new adventures, and their deep pride in each other and their family, Brennan's loved ones memorialize him every day. For VPR News, I'm Taylor Dobbs.